Dublin's Q102.
All right, here we go. The clinic is open and Dr. Dermot is with us. How are you doing, Dermot? Julia, well?
I'm good. A little cold, but you're such as life.
Yeah, it's pretty poor out there, all right. We've had a bit of luck last week as well with a couple of callers who had problems and issues. We come to them a little bit later on. And we didn't have a little bit of luck with one or two other people we were trying to get sorted out, but we will persevere and we will continue. So now is the time for us to ask you, if you want, to call us, 850-6597. It's an 01 number. Or text us, 57102 for 20 cent. If you've had any sort of a poor experience, you feel ripped off or even cheated, maybe it's been a bad customer service of late, maybe you sent a letter complaint and didn't hear back, we'll get in touch. You know the deal at this stage. Let's start with this. It's a detailed email, but let's have a little look at it. An ongoing issue with a company who fitted understair storage and sliding wardrobe doors. Since the installation, problems with it, doors rubbing off one another, preventing them from closing, doors not remaining closed and gaps forming inside the unit itself. The company reported the issues several weeks since somebody had to fix the numerous problems. Unfortunately, they weren't fixed properly. I then asked for either the unit to be removed or for the problems to be rectified. They removed the unit, are now informing that I'm not going to be refunded the whole amount paid. They're claiming I paid more for my wardrobe doors than the understair storage. They're also claiming another company fitted the units who are now in liquidation. So there's a right old mess for you.
Wow.
Where do you even begin to start with that one? You had the deal with that company. I don't care who you bought your stuff from, mate. I gave you my money to you. I didn't give it to your supplier.
Subcontractors don't matter in that scenario. It's exactly as you're pointing out. It's the bottom line always lies with, whom did I pay? I paid you, and I have a difficulty that either you can't repair the unit. It doesn't matter whether it's been taken out or what. I want the refund. Now, the simple matter of this is there are two ways there are a number of ways of approaching it. First off, you need to make that very, very clear. This is contract law, and you have a contract with this person, and that's the end of it.
Brilliant.
And most importantly, they have a contract with you.
I saved the best bit for you.
Oh, good. Go on.
The company are very difficult to deal with and are very aggressive. On quoting the Sale of Goods and Supply of Services Act, they claimed I was threatening them. But you were.
Absolutely.
You want your money back.
This is it. And it's time to quote the Sale of Goods and Supply of Services Act again, because A, the supply of goods element of it clearly is that perhaps the doors or whatever other elements of it were not of merchantable quality, not fit for their purpose, therefore, because they've been scraping. And the second part of that is the supply of service. Between them and their agent, which is, this is where you need to remind them that it's not the fact that the company they used have gone into liquidation. It's whom are they going to get now that they are gone into liquidation, that's of higher quality, that can produce the standard that you're entitled to. Now, clearly, I think we've gone beyond that from the what it says in the letter there.
Yeah, marks on the floor and halls.
This is it.
Stairs.
Really bad.
Isn't this a simple thing, like, I want my money back and I'm entitled to it, give me.
That's exactly
give me.
And the two ways to look at this is, one, if you've paid by credit card, which is probably unlikely in this scenario, but if you have, then go to the credit card company and tell them what's happened and that you're looking for the amount to be
Excellent.
Credited back to the card. And if that comes up, it's Section 14 of the Sale of Goods Supply Services Act. It's unlikely, as I say, that you've done that. So if that's the case, I'm not sure of the money that's involved here. Does it mention that at all?
No, I would say it's a few bob's worth.
Yeah, I understand that. Then go, at least you, because you're talking about a portion of the bill, hopefully you'll be able to threaten them. Yes,
okay.
We'll go back to that word with using the small claims court.
Is it
procedure.
Worth, if you have the money, is it worth going down to your local solicitor and saying, how much will you charge me to write a letter to this company, register it and post it off, or give it to me and I'll register it and post it off, saying that you are now intending to act on my behalf. Registered letter arrives, man opens it and realises, hang on, this is now going a route I don't want it to go, the solicitor's quoting, well, she's right, I'm wrong. And but because she is.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, this is it. And you know, a good solicitor will make the point to the company, if you resolve this now, you will only have to pay the refund that my client is looking for and a small amount of costs that are now arisen because I've become involved. But if you don't, okay, it's going to seriously escalate. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, in cases like this, because of the approach that's taken by certain retailers, not them all, by certain retailers, I don't blame people for going the hard legal route, which is, and particularly when that individual turns back and says, "Now you're mentioning the Sale of Goods Act, and you're threatening me. Why does somebody do that? It's because you just won't work with them.
Exactly,
it's very poor,
and it is very poor. And it's also the company sort of deflecting the argument onto something a completely separate issue, deflect away from the real.
And then they're blaming the third party's gone out of business. That's not your problem, and you don't know that anyway.
We're not having that. So there you are, Susan. Hopefully you got a bit of advice there. You might come back to us via email again and let us know how you got on, or what you did, or what you're going to do. We said we wanted to good news stories this evening. Here's Deirdre. Deirdre had a problem with the AA, and you said last week you should be able to sort it.
Yes.
Deirdre, did he sort it?
Hello, they did sort it for me. Thanks very much.
Great stuff.
So what happened?
I got back to them. I emailed them Tuesday morning, and they got back to me on Wednesday with a phone call. And emailing as well, and fixed up the whole lot.
Lovely. So you're
everybody else who bought it as well got fixed up.
Ah, fair play. So they did it properly.
That's brilliant.
Okay.
That's great.
You're happy now.
I'm delighted.
And you're delighted to be an AA member.
I am at the moment, yes.
All right. Connor Faulkner didn't ask you out for thank you lunch or anything, no?
He did not. Nothing extra.
All right.
I got it fixed anyway.
Well, that's the best news of all.
Thanks very much, Dermot.
Indeed.
Pleasure. Thanks for filling us in.
Happy Christmas to you.
And to you.
Many happy returns to you, Deirdre. Thanks indeed.
Thank you very much.
Cheerio. Bye.
That's great, isn't it?
It is.
It's brilliant.
So Deirdre's happy. AA is happy.
Fantastic, yep. I was actually speaking to Connor the other day.
Good stuff. Was that you who had them in the headlock in that corner of the room, was it? But, I mean, that's an organisation that big. You want your members to be happy.
Of course you do.
You don't want them going around bitching behind to everyone that I didn't get what I paid for.
Yeah,
I didn't know what I thought I was getting.
Don't go there. Yeah, so well done, AA. Got it right and sorted everybody. That's perfect.
All right, everyone's happy.
That's the way to do it.
All right, thank you. That was Deirdre Fitzgerald there. Don't forget our phone line, 01850 6597, if you'd like to come on air and talk to us. You don't have to do that, by the way. There are other methods we use here. And the other one is you can text us. And our text number, as always, is 57102 for 20 cent. So if you want to text us in, we can deal with that as well. All right, let us see now what we have now. We can go to the phones once again. And we have John here. Hi, John. What's the problem?
How are you doing? I was talking to you there a few months ago. I trained with a School of Motoring there.
Ah, the driving instructor course, May 2011. Yeah, go on. Remind us.
Well, the whole thing, it took me 9 months to train at a total cost of $4,000. Now, their advert reads, due to recent legislation changes to the driving school, full and part-time vacancies.
Okay, so
driving instructors in cars, coaches, trucks.
So basically you did their course and
I went ahead.
Job
and of course, it goes on then to say, if you're successfully...
Okay.
Yeah. Candidate who successfully achieves ADI accreditation through the school. So I went ahead, I'd done the whole 9 months training, done my exams. Now I failed two of them, so I had to resit them.
Right.
And I had to pay extra on those.
Okay.
So anyway, I was to say, after 9 months, got my licence, paid my registration fee to the ADI, only to be told, we don't have a job for you.
Great. And I wonder, in the terms of their small print somewhere, do they have a get out of jail card, do you reckon, Dermot?
Not on this, it's not.
Okay.
All right.
That's even better.
So, John, you're saying there it clearly stated that they had full and part-time vacancies. When they said they did not, did they say, look, at the time we believed that we did and would, but what did they say was the reason for they not being able to uphold what they'd promised?
Well, basically what they told me, like, after I got my licence, I started organising an interview, went in, done the interview, and they told me they had three other candidates, which I know because of all the training I was doing with them, they may have had one.
Right.
But they didn't have three other candidates, and I wasn't successful.
Right. Because you see, I'm sure you're starting to recognise and realise this now. When somebody says, we have vacancies, it doesn't mean that we're going to give you the job or you'll get it. And it's that kind of use of language that can, I won't say, well, it can mislead,
it can
certainly confuse.
Yeah, ambiguous.
And very it is so. Ambiguous.
Yeah.
And therein lies the dilemma that and the difficulty. And you probably have done your best, John. God love you to argue this back against them.
They have had this up on the website there now since I applied, and it was only 2 weeks ago I reapplied for the same position for the fourth time.
Wow!
Now I got a reply from the gentleman in question telling me, "Now you see, I worked for this company over 15 years ago."
Right.
And doing the instructors. At the time, we didn't need to have the license that you need nowadays.
I understand, yeah.
But according to his thing, I was given the opportunity to work for this company, but chose to go elsewhere. So as I replied, well, that was over 15 years ago. Plus, I didn't need my licence at the time.
Yeah, but I would have thought when you apply to do the course, you're signing up.
You've mended all those bridges and you're there and you're in your new capacity, yes.
Surely they would have told you.
And like one of the gentlemen I worked with, who's still there today as a director of training, I actually done some of my training with him. And like they went on about, they even introduced me into the south side. They have a division on the south side. Introduced me to the manager out there, telling me this is where I was going to be working. The whole rigmarole. So, like, while I was doing the training, I was under the apprehension that there's a job there for me once I successfully get my accreditation through the ADI.
Yeah. And they're saying that was all it was. It was just your misreading of what was on offer there, if you like, and it doesn't guarantee anything.
Well, that's it, you see.
So what's John's entitlement now at this point? Is this something we've...
Very, very difficult. I mean, to be honest with you... John, we don't know all of the timing and the detail and the level of interaction that you've had through interviews, etc., etc. So it's I won't say it's impossible, but it's close to impossible to give you strong advice here on what to do. What might not be a bad idea is if maybe we were to have a chat off air,
okay.
With maybe direct you towards a couple of people who could give you advice and on what you might consider doing next.
All right. We have your details, John. We'll give you a call back a little bit later
on. It was just one thing. It was basically like for other people who are out there who are
to be careful.
The way I read it.
If they're
going for the likes of this beforehand, get it in writing that there is a job there when they successfully.
Good man, John. But fair play to you for imparting that advice as well, because it's like people are looking for careers, people are looking for jobs, and they're investing money.
And that's it. Yeah.
But I have to say, like, I was one of the lucky ones. I had been made redundant.
Right.
Back in 2010.
Yes.
And I used some of my redundancy money to pay for this.
To do this. And in good faith, you did it in good faith, expecting a job at the end, which is like, it's rotten that you didn't get that. But look, we won't let you down. We'll do as much as we can.
Yeah.
And you get a call back a little bit later on when we come off air.
Much appreciated.
Cheers, John. Thank you very much. Thanks indeed. That's awful, isn't it, when you hear stories like that?
It is. And as I say, it's a very difficult one to work with, because, you know, nobody's doing anything wrong here. Nobody. Everybody's, you know, John has completed the course. He's done his bit. The course says there will be vacancies, but it doesn't, of course, nowhere does it say, and one of them is yours.
Yeah.
You know, so it's that piece that's missing.
We had vacancies, but they're full now. But just as John says, take note, if you are signing up for something like that, go in and get it in writing from them that you will definitely have a job. And if they're not in a position to give you a job, why they won't be able to give you a job at the end of it. And if you don't get satisfactory answers, don't give them a red cent, as they say. Eddie has a problem now with one of the bin companies, waste removal companies, I think as they are now. We'll talk about that in just a second.
Dublin's Q102.
All right, Dermajewel is in, and if you've had a problem with any sort of consumer-related area, let us know. You know, you can telephone us 01850 6597, or you can text us 57102 for 20 cents. Eddie, you had a problem with one of the refuse companies. What happened?
They sent out letters earlier in the year to say if you pay your yearly subscription before the 31st of October, that you'd get €20 returned in January.
Okay.
So it was €49.95. So I put it in on the card with my regular payments for the lift charges. So I put €70 on. I was waiting a couple of weeks. They still hadn't taken it out. So I phoned a couple of times. They told me, yes, oh, we'll take that out. That's no problem. So I phoned again then on Friday, and I was speaking to another chap, and he said, no, I'm sorry. You have to pay the $49.95 as a single payment without putting anything else on. And if you do put anything else on, it won't be taken out of your account. So you won't get your €20 returned in January.
Right.
So I asked him if I could speak to a manager or anything like that. So he basically told me there's no point in talking to anybody else. I'm the only person you can talk to. So now, after getting my money in before the cut-off time, they're saying that I won't get the €20 refund.
Wow.
And they have the money. They took the money, did they?
They still haven't taken it out of the account.
Ah, okay, so they haven't got the money.
And Eddie, it's Dermot. Can you tell me, did it state clearly somewhere? Did they say to you, ah, no, you missed that. It said you have to pay the $49.95 as a single one-off payment.
What it says on the form itself, it just says, reminder, if you wish to avail of the special offer, make a payment of $49.95 before the end of October. Now, they don't actually say that you have to put that exact amount in. They say $49.95, but I put in $50 just to cover it, and an extra $20 to cover the lift charges.
Yeah.
So I made sure there was €70. I put in €70 into it. And then when I phoned them, they originally told me, yes, we'll make sure that's done. Twice they told me that. And then the third time, I was told, I'm sorry, no, but there's no chance of you getting that back. You won't have your refund.
Okay. And can you tell me this? The first or the second time you rang, you rang them.
Yeah.
Was this in October or before the 31st of October?
I think the first time was before the 31st.
Right.
And then the second time was after the, it was in October, November.
Okay. That's okay. That's all I want to hear. Can I suggest, Eddie, that you make one more call to them? Or if you prefer, if you look at your bills, any of your bills there, see what level of contact details there are. In other words, if there's an email address or some way you can get in touch.
Yeah.
But would you ring them or write to them or email them and tell them that you've been speaking to Aidan and myself?
Yeah.
And that whatever about the speciality of the $49.95, that, you know, okay, we're accepting that they say that you must make that single payment, that A, it wasn't clear, but most importantly, that having paid it, you were told that it was the right thing to do and that it all would be okay.
Yeah.
And this was before the deadline. So you could have been told before the deadline, no, you've done it wrong. You needed to only pay $49.95. You have to correct that.
Yes, yeah.
But because they didn't do that, that we're hoping that as a gesture of understanding and goodwill and good customer service, that they will give you the credit.
Yeah.
And that we'd like to hear back from you next Monday on the show that they've managed to do that.
I will do. I will do that.
All right. Best of luck on that one, Eddie. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Aidan. Thanks a lot.
Talk to you next week. Cheers. Bye-bye. Oh, I have a feeling that there'll be quite a few people interested to hear how Eddie gets on, because I think a lot of people would have availed of that.
And paid €50 as opposed to $49.95.
Yeah.
You know, that's... Let's wait and see what happens next Monday.
All right. Yeah. Meanwhile, if there's anybody from the company who wants to come on and talk to us and explain how it works or why it doesn't work in Eddie's case, we would be only too delighted to accommodate you. All right, you're more than welcome. You have an open forum here to come on and discuss that with us and explain to your customers and our listeners what it's all about and why it isn't working in Eddie's case and for others who might well be in a similar position, or maybe there are others who aren't. Let us know. 850-6597 is our number here. 850-6597. Or indeed, you can text us 57102 for 20 cent with eMobile, Aircom's mobile phone service. All right, Karen was in Dubai last August and both her and her husband have smartphones. They were connected to the Wi-Fi in their hotel room and left their phones in the room for most of the time they were there. When they came home, they were charged over €260 between them in roaming charges for the course of 5 days. Karen has got in touch with the network provider, but they won't budge. Any advice? There's a common one, this, isn't it? You go away and you leave your phone...
It is. Yeah. The problem is, I know that there was Wi-Fi in the hotel, but one of the difficulties with, and particularly with smartphones, is that even if you take them and leave the hotel room, because with smartphones have apps and they're constantly updating, and they can be updating outside of and away from Wi-Fi, and it can cost you a lot of money.
Well, they did here, €260.
Yeah, €130 each or whatever.
What can you do?
What?
Can you ask them for a goodwill gesture? Is that about all you can do?
Many have tried and most have failed, to be honest, because they always make the point, look, turn off the data roaming, turn it off, close it down.
And don't bother with it.
And don't bother with it. So that way, once you close the data roaming, then Wi-Fi access through the hotel is all that'll work. And unfortunately, Karen, you yourself and your husband, I think, have fallen foul to this one. It's I understand your frustration, but the point has been made that, look, it's very, very hard to do that because a lot of people are making that mistake. And it's
just take note,
so
when you're going away, turn the roaming off.
Clear it off, yeah. Just physically make sure that you see it says off. And that allows you to access Wi-Fi clearly and with no cost.
I found as well on my smartphone that when I was away, you would go into a place and they'd say free Wi-Fi. And you say, oh, that's great. I'll have a look at the football results or I'll send a few emails or whatever.
Yeah.
You log into it and then it jumps to the local provider.
Straight to the provider, yeah.
And I didn't ask it to. Yeah. It just does this.
15 euro
Funny, it
a
always
day.
Works out in their favour. It's just an amazing coincidence. And I found that. So it's easier just to turn it off or else maybe bring a small laptop, if that's if you're a keen user,
Absolutely.
Or an iPad or one of the other gizmos, that you don't have to pay anything and it won't log on to a pay site. Well, that's the only way around that, isn't it?
You cover it out.
All right, Caroline has an Xbox problem. We'll endeavour to sort that out in a moment.
Duncan's Q102.
All right, Consumer King is with us. Dermot Jewell is with us this evening. And here's a man with his car clamped. I think it was a working car as well. Zuwanu, good evening to you.
Good evening, how are you?
Good, thank you. Are you working? It's a working car, it's a taxi, is it?
Yeah, I work as a taxi driver.
Okay, what happened? Explain what happened.
I parked my car just by the Guardian of Remembrance there. That was on the 7th of the 10th. I have an account with them. That's Dublin Street Parking Services. And I usually pay with phone parking. So, which I paid, and the parking expires at 17:10, 5:10, 10 past 5. And the car was clamped at 16:28. So, and I had a fare to pick up at Barry's Hotel, just around Denmark Street there. So by the time I go back to the car has been clamped. And I was supposed to pick the passengers up at 10 to 5. So by the time I called them, it was late because I knew there was nothing I could do again. And the fare I was supposed to pick up at Barry's Hotel was very, very unusual. I was supposed to go to Cork and Galway, which was going to fetch me around 750, 800 euros.
Wow. Okay, yeah. I can understand why you're upset. And what happened? So the car was finally unclamped at what time?
It was unclamped. So I left the car there with annoyance. So I came back midnight. Just went to my friend's place. Because there was no way they could come and declamp me to pick those passengers because we agreed a time to leave.
And what happened to the two passengers or the few passengers?
They were in Barry's Hotel. There was nothing I could do.
Right.
I couldn't go there.
And who took them then to Cork and Galway?
I don't know who took them.
Right.
I was supposed to meet them downstairs in the reception.
Okay. And have you any physical evidence? Did they give you a letter sort of saying they were upset that you couldn't fulfill your end?
They didn't give me anything because I met them earlier on.
Right.
I met them earlier on before I agreed to take them.
Okay. And Dermot, I think you wrote off to the clampers and they made a goodwill gesture, did they?
Yes. They made a gesture. I think it was a 100 euro voucher. Am I right, Zuwanu?
Yeah, they did.
You see, the you probably understand this. The difficulty that you have, I mean, they acknowledge that they got it wrong. They acknowledge that they incorrectly clamped you and they gave you the 100 euro voucher.
Yeah.
But the difficulty is that you have no way, unfortunately, Zuwanu, of proving that you're at that much of a loss that you ever even had that fare, and that's your dilemma. Even if the hotel had a record, it would have been great.
Yeah, but the problem here is that I don't owe them any explanation at all about who I want to pick up. This is my job.
Yes.
It's their own responsibility to do their job well.
Oh, no, we
absolutely.
We understand that fully. But there's very little
they can do beyond say, well, look, we acknowledge that you were out of work, you are a taxi, and we gave you this gesture of goodwill. I mean, have you gone to them and said, look, the 100 doesn't work, I need more?
I just got the voucher just last week. I wrote them a couple of letters, which they actually denied that they didn't receive it, kind of. They were just playing some games with me. I wrote the first letter, the first complaint I wrote to them was a registered letter, which someone signed for. The name of the person that signed was M. Keita, which when I called them, they said there was nobody M. Keita that works with them. Then who collects your letter in the box then? Who signed for the letter in Dublin Street Parking Services? They said they don't know.
Yeah.
So they now told me to write an ordinary letter, not registered, which I wrote to them. They now received that one.
All right. So you're hoping that there might be a reply from that, are you?
So they replied the second letter, but they denied the first one.
Okay.
So we had a couple of stuffs between us that they were just trying to play games with me, kind of. Maybe I will get fed up and just back off.
Okay, but you're not backing off and you're not fed up. The only thing really there then is to go into them, isn't it?
All you can do is, yes, go in and visit them and make your case directly face to face, which is usually the best way of doing it, if at all possible. And that's the way to go. But I must say, you do need to understand that your biggest dilemma and their biggest dilemma in all of this is that there's nothing to prove such a very rare and unusual fare, and that I think is the problem that you're going to continue with for a while. You may manage to increase their offer somehow, but I can't see you. I really cannot see you get anything like that level of compensation.
All right, good luck with that one, Suano, and maybe come back and let us know how you get on. Thank you very much there. All right, back. We have that Xbox. I was going to say X Factor, but it's over now, so you know we're near Christmas. Caroline, thanks for hanging on there. How are
you? I'm good. Thank you very much.
Good. Tell me what happened to the Xbox.
Okay, my son has an Xbox 360 and he had some problem with it, so he got online to the Xbox Microsoft website and he registered that he had a problem with his Xbox and he wanted it to be repaired. So they then give him a reference number and they took €84 from my bank account because he had to submit my bank details. So they took the €84. A week later, apparently what happens is they send you out a label, I think, and basically then you post off the Xbox somewhere, and the €84 covers the postage and the repair of the Xbox.
Right, yep.
So by the 13th of October, which was 5 days later, we still hadn't heard anything. So I rang Microsoft Xbox and I explained that the €84 had been taken out and we had heard nothing from them.
Right.
I spoke to a girl there and she said, oh, we don't see the money coming in on this side, that's why there was nothing done. So she said, oh, can you send me on a screen print of your bank account? So I did that on the 13th of October and I left it in her hands. And a week later, I still heard nothing back. So I sent a couple of emails and then I got another email back to say that they couldn't open the screenshot that I'd sent. So I resent the screenshot. So that was sent back to them on the 25th of October. Now, I emailed them, I'd say, 7 or 8 times since the 25th of October. And then on the 2nd of December, I picked up the phone again and I spoke to another gentleman. And he told me, oh, I see there's been a problem here and I'm going to take ownership of this issue. And you can expect an email within 5 days. Now, I was really annoyed at him and I said, are you telling me that it's going to be sorted within 5 days? He said, you'll have an email within five days. I didn't get them. So on the 9th of December, which is 2 months to the day almost that the money was taken out from my account, I rang again and I asked to speak to a supervisor. And this gentleman told me that the issue would be dealt with today. And he said he really apologised. He said it was, you know, he couldn't understand what the problem was. It had been escalated. He gave me a new reference number and he said, actually, I will actually ring you tomorrow because he said, I'll speak to you tomorrow about it. And I still haven't heard from anybody.
Well, that's so annoying and frustrating, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Two months later, and you're out of pocket, and you've been making all the time to make these calls.
And the Xbox still isn't fixed.
Absolutely.
Well, do you know what? I don't even want the Xbox fixed at this stage because I don't want to do business with them again.
Get your money back.
I just want my money back. Mm. I've had enough of them. I've never been treated so poorly by any company.
I hate these people who take your money up front and then don't deliver. It's disgusting.
And they are based in the UK, am I right, Caroline?
I think they are. We've only been dealing with them online. Now, contact number I rang recently was a Dublin-based number. I think the first number I rang was a UK number, but the second one was in Dublin.
Okay. Was the unit posted to a base in Dublin or outside of Ireland?
No, sure. We never got past step one. I never got the labels to post
it. So you couldn't post it off, yeah. So
The only transaction that happened was they took the €84 and... Yeah. All communication stopped then.
Okay. And did you pay this by credit card or by...
Laser.
Okay, all right. Well, fair enough, but at least you proved that you did it, which is
great.
Right,
absolutely.
No, it's just that it would be great if it was by credit card because you can add, credit card company could reverse it instantly for you. It'd be great.
The older I get, the more I'm learning.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I know. We all are, believe you me. This is limited, but all I can suggest that you do is tell them. If you would send them one email and tell them that you've been speaking to Aidan and myself live on air, and that we're looking forward to speaking to you again next Monday.
Okay.
And that considering it's taken 2 months, mm-hmm. and considering they're such a well-known organisation...
Well, that's what surprises me more than
yes,
I...
Yes, yes. And, yeah. and that if they want to be considerate in relation to their reputation, that the damage this is doing to them by live broadcast and word of mouth, that we would like to see not just your €84 refunded to you, which they can do within 24 hours, but also some goodwill gesture on their behalf.
Mm-hmm. And be smart when you're putting that email off. Point out to them that Dermot Jewell is not just on the radio, he is in fact the CEO of the Consumers Association of Ireland, which is quite a big organisation, and that they will go in and kick ass next week if required.
Okay.
All right.
Well, look, sure, I'll do that, and please go, when I'm speaking to you next week, I'll be a happier bunny.
I'm hoping so.
Hopefully, exactly.
Thanks, Caroline.
Okay, bye,
Caroline.
Thanks, bye-bye. Indeed.
Gas, isn't some of them some of the way these companies can go on? And
it's as we've said before, and it's happened a few times. This just keeps going between the cracks. The wrong channel all the way down.
Yeah. Very annoying, doesn't it?
Oh yeah.
I mean, I'm sitting here now, I want to shake somebody.
One person could sort it in minutes.
That's the thing, and that's the sad thing about minutes. It, and people are just going through this month or week yeah. after week, after suddenly months of frustration. It's annoying. Actually, here's what we should really read out, because we had Eddie on earlier on, and he had a problem with the refuse
yes.
and the offer that they made and the refund. As you know, if you pay up front, we give you a refund in January. And hi, Aidan and Dermot, had a similar offer from my bin company. I made the €49.95. In fact, I paid a full €50 on payment in two payments, and at first they said, tried the same crack with me that they tried with Eddie until I said to them, well, that's fine, I'm moving to another company with immediate effect. They then confirmed to me by email that I was eligible for the bonus back after all. Yeah. Eddie, you should go and insist on speaking to a manager in the company you're dealing with. They have a head office in Dublin, and if you don't get through to the head office, because you might go to a call center, hang up and ring back, but insist that you want to talk to the manager and tell them if they don't do what they were supposed to do, you're going to move off with immediate effect. It worked for Amy, she said, with her refuse company, and it could well work for you.
Call Cooney, weekdays from 6 p.m.
on Dublin's Q102.
Now we have a tricky one here, Patricia. I'm sorry to tell you, it sounds like a very, very tricky one, but tell us what happened. It's an iPhone problem.
It is an iPhone 4 problem. I purchased the iPhone 4 going back in August 2011 in June in 2011, and last August it went dead on me, completely dead, nothing, wouldn't even charge for me. So I brought it back to a mobile communications shop. Now, they took it off me and they sent it away and they said, right, okay, we'll get that sorted for you. So I rang them up to see was it ready, and they said, yeah, it's ready, but there's €180 you have to pay for it. And I said, okay, right, no problem. So went in, and the girl said to me, now, they replaced your phone, Patricia. They gave you a new phone. I said, that's great. That's brilliant. Thanks very much. And went off with business. But going back last week, my phone went
again. Oh, no.
The battery started raining on me. I charged it, and within 3 hours, it'd be gone. And it was roasting in my hand. I couldn't even talk on the phone. It was really hot.
Right.
So I left it in. They took it back off me and sent it away. So I rang on Saturday morning, last Saturday morning, to see if it was ready, and she said, yes, Patricia, your phone's ready to be collected, but it's €180. And I said, but I'm only after paying that €180 4 months ago. I said, and you're looking for another €180? And she said, yes, that's the way it is. So I rang customer care, and she said, sorry, Patricia, that's our policy. It has to go 3 times before we can actually let you have the phone for nothing.
Well, okay.
Like, without you paying for it to be fixed. It has to go 3 times. And I said, that's not fair. I said, I wouldn't mind if it was a year after, or a year and a half after that this happened. But 4 months later, I said, for another 180, that is not fair. It's not. That's our policy, and that's it.
Well, this shop must have big windows to see people coming in. Like, you know, here's another one coming. Yeah, get 180 quid.
Exactly. And I'm so annoyed. So I don't know what to do.
Okay, Patricia. Interestingly, here that all that you need to focus on is one thing, and that is that, which is very good that you say that the phone was replaced with a new phone.
That's what they said, but okay. I don't think it has. I think they've just fixed my phone and said it had been replaced. No, I can't say. They probably maybe have.
No, but the key is here that it has been replaced with a new phone, because what you need to do now is to go in and tell them that you were speaking to Aidan and you were speaking to myself, and that I advise you that the consumer law significantly kicks in and none of their three-time rules can apply, because the unit is a brand new phone. That's what they told you.
Yeah.
And it's broken.
Yeah.
It won't work. So under the terms of the Sale of Goods and Supply of Services Act, you are entitled to have it either repaired or replaced or a refund, because it was a new phone. And they cannot be charging you €180. They have no right to charge you anything because it's a new phone and it's under guarantee.
Well, she never said that to me. She just said, no.
Well, you need to be specific.
It has to happen three times, she said, Patricia, before we can let you get the phone for nothing.
Well,
replaced or fixed.
All I can tell you is there is consumer law. It's the Sale of Goods, Supply of Services Act. And you need to tell her that you were speaking to us, and that if it's a case that they are going to break the law, then we would like to hear from them exactly why they're going to continue to do that. Because if that's the case, then that does need to be referred to the National Consumer Agency for action
definitely.
To be taken against
all
them.
Right.
But will you tell them that? And
I
hopefully they resolve it for you.
I'm in contract with them until next June. So
absolutely.
I said, look, I'm going to end my contract, which is... this is not fair. I'm a very, very reliable customer to you. I said, this is not fair, and this is the way you're treating me. Expecting another 180 off me, my contract is not finished until next year.
No. That's unfair.
Not fair at all.
Incorrect.
So off you go, Patricia. Yep. Talk to them and come back to us. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Right.
Hopefully all will be resolved by then.
What's your name now?
Dermot Jewell from the Consumer Association of Ireland.
Dermot Jewell.
Jewell. Jewell.
Jewell.
Yeah.
Dermot
Jewell from the Consumer Association of Ireland.
Well, thanks very much.
Cheers, thank you. Thanks indeed. Oh, dear.
Ah, that's not right.
I think we might have to leave Nicholas till next week. Sorry about that, Nicholas. Time has caught up with us. Nicholas booked a mini cruise, had to change return journey due to emergency.
Okay.
And obviously there was a problem with the cost. I will give it a quick blast. Will we? We'll try and see if we can do something. Hi, Nicholas.
How you doing? Aidan, how are you?
Good. Time is running out rapidly here. Had to change the return journey. What happened?
Just a quick question. I booked a mini cruise with a ferry company here in Dublin to go out today and back tomorrow. I had a family emergency. I had to come back before the time was up.
Okay.
I came back with a different freight company or ferry company, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, yep.
And 2 weeks later, I get me statement from my credit card with the charge of €160, which is correct. And then on the bottom, on the 30th of that month, the credit card company pays the ferry company €150.
Ouch.
So I get on to the ferry company and they tell me, oh, you have to go on to your credit card company. So to cut a long story short, I eventually found out it was a penalty. Because I didn't abide by to the terms and conditions.
Okay.
But the terms and conditions... they don't print on the receipt. You have to go onto the website.
And if you haven't got access to a computer...
yeah, it's just that terms and conditions always do apply, and if it's their way of getting out. What I would suggest you do, and just to explain, Nicholas, we're running out of time, is tell them that, okay, you acknowledge there are terms and conditions, you acknowledge that you had to change those because there was this, you were forced to come back on a different date, and that will they at least meet you halfway, that we're hoping that they might show some goodwill towards you on this occasion. Tell them you've been speaking to us, and we'd love to hear that they would consider at least a 50% refund.
And if they don't, come back on and tell us, and we'll talk about them in a bit more detail.
No problem, Aidan.
Thanks, Nicholas.
Thanks.
Best of luck with that one. Cheers.
Cheers.
Dermot, pleasure as always. Thank you very much. Talk to you next week.